A short while ago, I read a poem by Walt Whitman as part of February, and I read it without any introduction. And because I had listened to a number of other people's audio boos, I decided that I'll just read the poem straight, without any preamble. But there's a problem. And the problem is this, that the poem is probably only important to me because of the place and the influence that it had on me. And just to read it straight leaves the audience with very little context. And I have always had a big struggle about the two different styles of poetry readings. There are poets who will come out to do a poetry reading and they read the poetry and that's it. They don't give very much away in terms of why they picked this particular poem, where it was written, how it was written, how it was edited, you know, what they mean by certain phrases, what associations they have. In other words, they let the poetry speak purely for itself. And then there are others who give a substantial introduction. And I've always struggled in between these two sides, you know. Sometimes I feel that giving a lot of introduction is in some kind of way apologizing for the poem and is weakening the poem because it, you know, a poem, if it's sturdy enough, should stand on its own two feet and be able to hold its own in any dialogue that's entered into around it. In other words, the poem doesn't need a protagonist or an advocate if it's a great poem. On the other hand, the poet, in just reading a plain poem, is sharing, isn't sharing all that much, really. Now, I'm deliberately kind of speaking in a very slow and thoughtful way because I don't find this an easy issue. But I began to feel uneasy after I'd finished reading the poem this evening, because I thought, I have absolutely no idea what people will make of Walt Whitman. And I want to say something about Walt Whitman. I've always wanted to, because he changed my life. So here goes. I came out of school with having had a great English teacher, but who was a real iconoclast, and having made a very deliberate choice to avoid all the poems by W.B. Yeats that we were on our syllabus at school. I did that because I coldly calculated that I could completely not learn anything about Yeats. I would miss one, perhaps two at the most, questions in the exam, but it would save me a heck of a lot of study, and I would simply answer questions about other poets. So, you know, I would hardly be described as somebody who came out of school, a kind of real soulful poet type man. Anyone who could sort of drop Yeats in that kind of crude way can hardly be said to have a strong poetic soul. I was more intellectually drawn to poets like Pope and Dryden. And in case, you know, you don't know these people were really, really clever and sharp and satirical and tight, as opposed to romantic. But anyway, leaving all that aside, I had nothing to do with poetry for an extremely long time. And when it got to the 1990s, I must have been ready for poetry at last, because I one evening found myself in a bed in a new friend's house, alone, and beside the bed was a little book. You know these Follen, published books, pop books published by Follen? It was a collection of poems by Walt Whitman, who I thought was probably a country and western singer. In other words, I had no idea who he was. So I started to read the introduction, and during the short introduction to the collection of poems, there was a phrase which has always confused me because I've got a mixed up memory about it. And the phrase was towards the end of the introduction to the book. It brought D.H. Lawrence in, the sentence brought D.H. Lawrence into the picture, and as I remember it, and I've always remembered it, it was as if D.H. Lawrence said, referred to Walt Whitman, with a phrase called the wilderness of unopened life. Yep, the wilderness of unopened life. Now that phrase, the wilderness of unopened life, I don't think I was quite sure when I read it whether it was referring to Lawrence or whether it was referring to Whitman. Whoever wrote the introduction was dealing with somebody who was probably a bit tired that evening and I went to bed asleep with just barely opening this collection of poems. But when I woke up in the morning, I read a little bit more of the in the collection of Whitman poems, and I thought, my God, this is something different. And I got a sharp awakening, and I found myself reading a poet who was speaking as if he spoke out of the history of America. He spoke about mountains and valleys and water flowing and thoughts flowing and people flowing and things being built and constructed, and spoke about railways and factories, and he spoke about the whole 19th century American build post the Civil War. He actually wrote before the Civil War, I guess, but his whole theme was America and its size and grandeur and splendor. And he reveled in it and he praised it and he advocated for it. And it was in that classic genre of, you know, America's the great democracy. You know, it's really powerful in the world because it has democracy at its heart. And there's something almost like a moral crusade about America. And so what appealed to me about Whitman was the fulsome way in which he threw himself into advocacy for changes in the history of the significance of what was happening in America. So then that began my love affair with Walt Whitman. It led to all sorts of things, including my love of American Civil War music, and songs like Marching Through Georgia and Battle Hymn of the Republic and all sorts of other ones which I'm too tired to remember right now. And the thing about it is that I was at school told that, you know, generally speaking, you shouldn't start sentences beginning with the word I. Now, I've since, you know, been well weaned off that point of view. But Whitman spoke out, you know, with a lot of I statements. I do this, I do that, I love, I praise, I whatever it was. And it was plain in reading it that he wasn't talking about himself, Walt Whitman, as an individual. He was speaking as if he had an ability to speak out the soul of America, as if he had an ability to empathize with the massive changes, the Herculean struggles and effort of people and achievement of people, and that he spoke all this out with strength, declaiming poetry, completely, completely different from any form of poetry I'd ever come across. And so that's why I picked Walt Whitman. There are other layers and layers of reasons why I love Walt Whitman so much, but they can wait for another day. In my experience, hardly anybody knows Walt Whitman over here in Ireland, and I once sat in a class in Listowel, a writer's class in Listowel with a very well-known poet in Ireland. And not a single one of 16 people in the room knew Banjo Paterson, that wonderful American, a wonderful Australian poet, but who wrote Waltzing Matilda, by the way. So it isn't unusual for people not to know somebody who you know. I had to learn that. I thought everybody knew any poet who I knew. Everybody knew. Because I had have had an awful lot of catching up to do. So, okay, I've said something. It's better than nothing, I think. And it's not meant to take the place of your personal relationship with Whitman. And if you detest him, that's fine. And if you like him, that's fine too. He's certainly not a poet who leaves people sort of neutral. And he's a man who went from being vilified in the strongest imaginable terms when he started to publish in the 1850s, to the point where he was, you know, incredibly popular in the 1890s. And in case you're interested, Oscar Wilde once returned from America saying he'd kissed the lips of Walt Whitman. Anyway, that's enough about Walt. I just had to say this. Thanks. Bye-bye.